I know I'm a conscious being, but I'm a limited. I was born. I'm going to die. What is this? I know I'm a conscious being. I was born. I'm going to die. This is called what? You know, this is what called lack of discriminative knowledge. You are not that you don't know you are, who you are also, but still discriminative knowledge must be very clear. Thereby you can avoid the adhyasa. Isn't it? Wrong perception, the misconception about the self. Then you can avoid the adhyaropa, the superimpositions of the limitations, the problems of anatma upon the atma. Thereby you can avoid everything. This person who understands prakritya adi buddhaha, essentially I am pure consciousness, pure awareness, turiyam chaitanyam, essentially I am. Means, when you say I am consciousness, you know, because consciousness does not speak. Who speaks this? Who says this? There are only two things, atma, anatma. Isn't it? Who is the one who says aham buddhaha? I know. Who says this? Who speaks out, I know? Does consciousness speak? Does matter speak? It is the mixture. Okay? It's the mixture. Puja Swami says Mishra. Isn't it? Atma, anatma, mixture is what? Isn't it? But still, the matter cannot speak. Consciousness does not speak. Which means, therefore, this, who is seeking freedom? Does consciousness seek freedom? Does consciousness need to attain moksha, jnanam? Is consciousness bound by limitations? Isn't it? Therefore, we need to understand here very thing actually. Even if you analyze what I am, I itself is only cognition. I am is a cognition. The cognition is what? Not just the consciousness, not just the thought. The consciousness with the thought is a cognition here, eye cognition. So also any cognition of any object also is what? Idam also is what? Consciousness plus thought only. So this thought, whether this eye thought or idam thought, isn't it? Then, so existence, knowledge of existence of one's own self in terms of I am, the knowledge of the existence of the universe, this, in terms of this world is it the knowledge that cognition itself is dependent on what? The rising of the vrittis. Vrittis are not there, there is no cognition. There is no cognition, there is no world. There is no experience. Which means, then what is there? Even when the vrittis are there, vrittis are not there. The thoughts are there, or thoughts are not there. Which means, what is there is consciousness. Isn't it? That's why we say self-evident. Means, the world is dependent on the existence of cognitions in terms of rising of vrittis, existence of vrittis for the world to become evident. The world cannot become evident. It is, isn't it, dependently evident. Independently it can never be evident. There is no self-evidence. It is dependent on the vrittis for the cognitions, no? To become evident, which means dependent on the function of the mind. The function of mentation must happen. the mind must be functional, sense powers must be functional, only then the world can become evident. Whereas Atma, the Turiyam Chaitanyam, is not dependent on the function of the mind, or not dependent on the function of sense organs, not the existence of the world, Atma to become evident. So Atma is independently evident, self-evident, is not dependent, whether the mind functions or not, doesn't function. The sense powers function or not functional. Whether the world exists or does not exist, always consciousness is. That's why, what do we say? There's a beautiful verse you read with me, studied with together in the Manisha Panchakam. Jagrat Swapna Sushuptishu Sputatara Ya Samvrit Ujrumbhate. The consciousness which is always there shines as the experiencer in all the three states of experience. Isn't it? Therefore, here the Turiyam is independently evident, self-evident, is not dependent on the existence of thoughts, existence of cognitions, the function of the mind. Therefore, that's why that you are that Turiyam, the consciousness. We say, that's why he said here, Prakritya eva Adi Buddhaha. Anadeha, first he said, now he is Adi Buddhaha. But the whole problem here is caused by this, the misconception and the adhyasa and adhyaropa, thereby you take all the limitations. Therefore, when we say, I am, that expression is beautiful. Anything added to I am is your notion. I am is beautiful knowledge. I am Turiyam, the awareness, absolute clear knowledge of the self. But I am fat, tall, ugly, even superiority also, good looking. Who else is bad looking here? Then their identity has gone with what? Body. Body dharma. Sharira dharma becomes your dharma. Then I am hungry. 12:15. 11:15 to 11:15. I am hungry. Whose dharma it is? Prana dharma. I am is fine. Which means you have internalized the problem. It is not you are aware, you're witnessing the problem, but you are not objective towards the problem. It's an internalizing. I am hungry. You shift, I am angry. Now it is manasaha dharmaha. Prana dharma, sharira dharma, manasaha mano dharma. I am angry means the problem of the mind. I am, because mind is angry, anger is mind, isn't it? You are not objective towards the mind. That is anger, which is the mind, a state of mind, which is there, is taken as yours. Therefore, I am angry. I am wise, if you say also, agyanam only. Now that I am wise means what? Then some wisdom, something you, belongs to intellect. Isn't it? Their identity is with the intellect. So in the dharmas, the attributes, the limitations belonging to the anatma, intellect or mind or pranas or sense powers or powers of organs of actions or the physical body, when they are superimposed upon the self, then anything you add to I am makes you a limited being. Not that you want to add, you ignorantly, you know, isn't it? Cut. Helplessly, you add. That is because of the lack of discriminative knowledge. There is knowledge of what you are. There is knowledge of you are, but there is not clear, the discriminative knowledge is not there. The objectivity is not there. You mix up, isn't it? Therefore, the problem is because of this mixing up. Therefore, what he says is, one who distinguishes the self, distinguishes the actual, the essential nature of one's self, isn't it? What I am, how definitely I am the Turiyam, the awareness, which is like the fourth person, obtaining in each state of experience, being distinct from the Vishwa Taijasa Pragya, distinct from the Virat Hiranyagarbha and Antaryamishwaraha. I am distinct aware consciousness. And that consciousness is what? Anadihi, isn't it? Anadihi, it is of the nature of knowledge, it is self-evident, therefore it is self-existent. Existence of anything is determined by the evidence, isn't it? Evidence is the evidence for the existence. So here, Atma being self-evident, which is self-existent also. And the Turiyam Chaitanyam is the only absolute reality. Everything else is mithya. One who understands this very clearly, such a person, sunischitaha, doubtlessly they know. Then he says, yasya evam bhavati. One for whom this knowledge which is naturally already there. What is that knowledge which is already naturally there? I am a conscious being. I am a conscious being. One who has this knowledge becomes the clear knowledge. Not this knowledge is there with every human being, but is not very clearly there. Clear means what? I am a conscious being, knowledge which is there, which is not a clear knowledge. Which means what? Clear knowledge means what? I am a conscious being, consciousness, distinct from the body, mind, sense complex. That must be there, which is the only truth of everything. That becomes very clear. One who has that clear understanding, he alone becomes what? Kshantasya kshantihi. Kshantihi means kshama. Kshama means forbearance, tolerance. It means that person becomes the person of accommodation. All accommodative. All accommodative means what? Who is the one who can accommodate everything and anything? Being accommodative means, the word he uses, the word he in this verse, the Karika, Gaudapada Acharya uses this term kshantihi. Kshantihi means what here? He can tolerate anything. He's a person of tolerance, person of forbearance, person of endurance, the person of accommodation. When in this vision, accommodation implies, you know, independence. If when you are independent emotionally of the world, what is world? Anything other than yourself is the world. My son? Also world. Where is your son? Understand? Any relationships, now wife or children or however close the intimate the people are to you, however the dearest the things are to you, the jagat, anything other than yourself, everything else, including your mind, including your body, including your sense powers, everything is what? Anatma, isn't it? When you are not dependent on anything, when you're emotionally independent of everything for your security and happiness, fullness, why? Because for you, fullness is your real nature. Fullness cannot become dependent upon the world for fullness. The sweetness, no, the sugar cannot depend upon anything else for becoming sweet. Why? All it is sweetness. Sweetness is very nature, swarupam. So fullness cannot become dependent upon the world for fullness. Happiness cannot depend upon the world for its happiness, because already it is happiness, isn't it? The one who has discovered one swarupam being fullness and happiness, how but discovering one's real nature being consciousness. See, if you say, I am consciousness, then alone fullness is your nature. If you say, I am consciousness, only then happiness is your swarupam. I am consciousness, if you say, only then security is your swarupam. It's very nature. Because you need not do anything to pervade, to be full, to be happy. No, why? That's your very nature. The sun cannot say, I need to become bright and brilliant. Isn't it? It only taking ownership of what it is as its own nature. So here also, when it is very clear, I am consciousness is very clear, then fullness, happiness, limitlessness, no security, you can take ownership of it as your very swarupam. Otherwise, there's no way of claiming, you know, the fullness as your swarupam. Not simply saying, no, I am happiness. When you say itself, we can make out how unhappy you are. I am happiness. Therefore, this is not for expressing. It is something to be understood. Cognitive appreciation is important here. That is my very swarupam. If that becomes very clear, that only then the person can say what? He is emotionally, absolutely independent of the world. Isn't it? He's not dependent on the world for his happiness and security. Such a person alone can be accommodative. Accommodative means what? No situation, no behavior, nothing in the world even slightly also afflict you, affects you. Nothing in the world can afflict you even slightly. Nothing really bother. Understand? Which means any nonsense you can accommodate. There's no nonsense for you. Understand? Everything is then meaningful. Which means once you have discovered your freedom, you give others also freedom. So your freedom is in giving freedom to others. Which means what? If you are free, then everything is okay. That accommodation means not that, you know, this person is like a accommodation in place, that not being able to find fault with anything in the world. As long ago I said, in fact, the love means now all accommodative nature is what expression of love. What is love itself? Expression of fullness is love, and expression of fullness is love means what? Non-fault finding accommodation. That is possible when you don't find fault with anybody in the world for anything. Why? Everything is okay. I don't see any problem with anybody. This is called kurai kaanamai. Nirival thilaikkiravan veliye kuraiye paarkamaat mudiyadu. If there is no fullness, if fullness is not your nature for you, if you have not claimed the fullness as your very real nature, then you will see inadequacy everywhere. everything is inadequate, no? It triggers the problem. Therefore, then there is, you find fault with situations and people. When you find fault with people and people, you become object of hatred. People don't like you. Isn't it? Then keep away from you. You are no more attractive for people. You can't impress, charm, attract people. The real charming, you know, the real attraction is where, when you don't find fault with anybody in the world, everybody is okay, everything is okay, any behavior is okay, everything is okay. Means what? I don't find fault at all with anybody for anything means. No? Then I don't become object of hatred. Which means, not only that, everybody likes me. Which means, this is attraction. Therefore, all attractiveness also is what? Anything which attracts, everything, anything is what? The beauty. The beauty attracts. The beauty alone is attractive. So, all attractive beauty is love. Love is non-fault-finding accommodation. The non-fault-finding accommodation is what? Expression of fullness. And the expression of fullness is possible. You know? The happiness. Expression of fullness is happiness, in fact. That is possible only if I have taken ownership of fullness, happiness as my real nature, my swarupam. That is my swarupam. I am happiness, I am fullness, I can say only if I say I am consciousness. Turiyam, distinct from what? Vishvatajasa Pragya. This understanding whoever has, that person has kshantihi. Okay, that is why Krishna was playing flute means the whole Gokulam, from all the gopis ran after Krishna. No, all the gopis, each gopi is a mind, symbolizes mind. One Krishna is what? Fullness. Krishna's, the flute is what? When he plays the flute, no, that raga, when he plays in the flute, is expression of his ananda, fullness. Then that attracts all the gopis. Run, nobody can control these gopis. Why? That's very swarupam. Krishna is a swarupa of every mind. Every mind wants to be with its own swarupam. Understand? This mind, discovering its fullness as its own swarupam and abiding in that fullness, reveling in fullness, there's no jagat. The jagat does not exist for them. In reveling in fullness, jagat does not exist for them. What is the whole jagat is for them? What? Their own self, Krishna. Isn't it? In that, we say what? Nothing exists. That is what is actual Thirumanam. Understand? That is actual Thirukalyanam. That is actual wedding. Understand? You resolving your identity with your swarupam. I am consciousness of the nature of fullness. This is what is what? You are recognizing your inseparability from your real nature. This is actual wedding. Tirukalyanam. That happens in temple, okay? And what we do in temples? We take sridhanam. We take everything, dum-dum, pee-pee, everything. Understand? It's symbolizing. Anyway, what I want to say here is accommodation. You understand, if at all, people come and ask, why do I get disturbed by others' behavior? Why does, you know, always poking my nose, always finding fault with that is not good, this is not good, the government is not good, people are not good, everything is, that is all the time irritation, isn't it? This person be completely non-irritable person. The all accommodative person is the non-irritable person. why you cannot irritate at all a person. Isn't it? We easily get irritated. Why? See, please understand, the more we get irritated, the irritability itself is expression of my sense of inadequacy. Problems. Understand, my problem. Shastram says it is not somebody else's problem. That's why wherever I go, however people, whatever people say, I don't get affected. I take it easy. I pack the pack and go to some other place. I can come back. Go anywhere. Poor people, they are nice people, good-hearted, very generous. Sometimes situations, physical problems, other things. But this is okay, isn't it? I can understand. I see such a beautiful hearts, beautiful minds, very generous, very magnanimous, very accommodate, very tolerant. Sometimes irritability, isn't it? It's natural. Because irritability is a fundamental problem again. Expression of the fundamental problem of sense of inadequacy. Understand? So here, this person, this jnani, is free from the problem of irritability. Nothing can irritate. Why? Because he can accommodate anything and everything, because he is absolutely independent of the world for his happiness and security. Why? Because he, there is no time, he is not reveling in his fullness. External situations will not make him unhappy at all. Nothing can make him small, inadequate or unhappy. Nothing makes him. Why? What can, no, nothing can make a sugar candy bitter. Even if you put it in a bitter gourd curry, bitter gourd curry becomes sweet. That doesn't become, understand? But bitter gourd cannot make this sugar candy bitter. It can reduce the bitterness. Sugar added to anything bitter can reduce the bitterness. Like auntie makes methi laddu, okay? And Madhavi helped, which means laddu, lots of methi, bitter. But still, it becomes less bitter because addition of the sugar. It cannot make the sugar bitter. Understand? Similarly, here, the person who is reveling in fullness, nothing can cause any, nothing irritate him. Why? Because of his all accommodative nature. The all accommodation is because of his independence. Independence is because of his self-dependence. He is not dependent on the world, he is not dependent on Shastram anymore, he is not dependent on Guru anymore. He is not dependent on even Bhagavan as an object anymore. For him, Bhagavan also is what? Non-separate his self. His own swarupam is Bhagavan. What is Bhagavan for me? My own real nature. What is Bhagavan? Everybody's nature is Bhagavan. All that is here is only what? Expressions, manifestations, appearances of Bhagavan. Such a person, for him, there is a kshantihi. Such a person alone is eligible for mokshaha. Amritatvaya kalpate. He alone is what? Kalpate, eligible. Is eligible for the attainment of immortality. The mokshaha. Saha amritatvaya kalpate. Okay, let's go to the next karika. Remember, I am not simply repeating or I told you already, it's a summing up of, concluding summary of Upasamhara is done here in all these verses. That's why. Adishantahyanutpannaha. Prakrityaiva sunirvritaha. Sarve dharma samabhinnaha.
Sarve dharma samabhinnaha.
ajam samyam visharadam adishanta hyanutpanna prakrityaiva sunirvritah sarve dharma samabhinnah ajam samyam visharadam. Okay, so here again first he said adi buddhah, now he is adi shantah. This word adi used in this verses imply what? Beginninglessly they are of the nature of knowledge. They are endowed with this knowledge, I said. Now, Adi Shantaha means all the jivas are absolutely of the nature of peace. Adi Shantaha. Anutpannaha, again it's repetition of the word. Anutpannaha means what? Uncreated, unborn, birthless, which means who? Sarve dharmaha, you have to understand. Sarve dharmaha is in the second line. Sarve dharmaha means all the jivas. All the jivas means what? The essential nature of the truth of every being. Referred to by the first person singular pronoun I. Every time we refer to, use the term I, actually I should refer to the consciousness. Even though we refer to the whole individual being, but actually, absolutely, the I should refer to what? Only the consciousness. So, sarve dharmaha, all the jivas are essentially anutpannaha, means uncreated. Uncreated, unborn, birthless, they are beginningless. Anadeha, already it was said. Uncreated, beginningless means what? They're timeless, eternal, which means they don't have end also. And not only they are endless, they are of the nature of changelessness. How prakritya eva, naturally, intrinsically, they are of the nature of peace. Which is adi shantaha. Jivas need not become peaceful. Peace is their very swarupam. Tranquility is the very swarupam. Understand now? Very nature means, then who becomes here? Consciousness need not become peaceful. When is consciousness disturbed for it to become peaceful? What is disturbed is the mind. What needs to become peaceful is what? The mind. Not the consciousness. But in discovering the consciousness being its swarupam, the mind can't help being absolutely tranquil. Until and unless the mind discovers its own swarupam being, there is a discovery of the consciousness being, the essential nature of the mind, to the, as the essential nature of I cognition, there is no way of mind becoming absolutely peaceful and tranquil. Understand? Therefore, here, other than discovering the swarupam being peace, there is no way of becoming peaceful. Which means people are working hard to put all the thoughts to sleep. So, please understand, Vedanta never encourages to put your mind to sleep, to become thoughtless. Thoughtlessness is never aimed at. Oh, if my mind becomes completely thoughtless mind means a waveless ocean. All the thoughts should be dropped. Then what happens? With stillness of mind, then there will be peace. No, it is impossible. Okay, in fact, living your life means mind being functional. Mind being functional means entertaining thoughts. How can you say work very hard, you can rest for some time. Fall asleep, thoughts are resolved, rest. Okay, practice meditation for some time. You can have some, you know, it's only for temporary rest. Temporary remedy is what you can, you know, put your thoughts to sleep for some time. But that is not the aim of Vedanta, never encourages that. It is not the aim of Vedantic teaching. No, come on, put all your thoughts to sleep. Resolve all the thoughts. Have a thoughtless mind. What is this? It's impossible. How can you live your life without entertaining thoughts? Living life means mind being functional, mind being, in fact, the mind is given to you to entertain thoughts. The thoughts are there. There is perception, there is cognition, understanding, experience, enjoyment of the world itself is there. Mind is given to you as an instrument of enjoyment. Instrument of enjoyment, mind is given, blessed. You know, you are blessed with the mind as an instrument of enjoyment. Sense organs are what? Instruments of enjoyment. Isn't it? But you don't want to use it. Suppose if somebody comes and gives some money, a nice house, beautiful house, please live here. What should you do? Let me lock and keep everything safe. Let me stand on the roadside. This, something is given to you for enjoying, isn't it? So mind is given to you for enjoyment. No, I don't want to work very hard, practice meditation, and then put all the thoughts to sleep in a thoughtless mind, samadhi. How long can you be there thoughtlessly? I tell you, work very hard, spend a lot of time to be thoughtless for some time, again you come back with more thoughts. Now what I'm saying, please understand, therefore of solution, for absolute peace, resolving all the thoughts, putting the thoughts to sleep, or entertaining a thoughtless mind is not a solution. Understand? It is not possible also, please understand. If at all you can do, it is only temporary remedy. It is not a permanent solution. What is the permanent solution? Understand, shift the eye-sense, logically, cognitively, with the help of the Shastram, understand how this, you know, be objective, learn to be, understand and learn to be objective towards this Vishvatajasa Pragya, your own body, mind, sense complex. Be object, learning to be objective towards the mind is the most difficult thing. The mind also to be objective and see yourself being pure awareness. This is not something you are not asked to repeatedly. Your consciousness, your consciousness, your consciousness. Where is the problem for you? It is not taught to you like that. You are, you know, systematically, you are made repeatedly, you are made to see the fact how what you are not, what you are is made very clear. Yes, if you are, what you are not is, is there's nothing other than you also. You have to understand. What I am not, you understand. What I am, you understand. Then what else is there other than myself? That also you have to see. Another fact. What is the biggest fact is what? Is there anything other than myself? Absolutely. This is something real fact, isn't it? This fact should become very clear. It should be taken seriously and understood. Now, relatively, you can transact with the world, everything we can do, but this vision must not be forgotten. It must be very clear. Adi Shantaha. Therefore, nothing in the world can disturb you, because you are of the nature of what? The peace, tranquility, isn't it? That's why Adi Shantaha. Only when you claim your Swarupam being fullness, limitlessness, you know, free from inadequacy and insecurity, which is pure consciousness, then you can understand your Swarupam being peace also. Adi Shantaha. Sarve Dharmaha Adi Shantaha. Then Anutpannaha. Then Prakrityayeva. That is, Prakrityayeva should go first itself. Prakrityayeva means naturally, essentially, intrinsically, all the jivas are of the nature of peace. Then the beginningless, timeless, then sunirvrutaha. So nirvritaha, we got now, nirvritaha means completely, absolutely ever free from all the problems and limitations. Problems are not, we don't say problems are not there. Problems are there, but problems are not there for the Atma. Isn't it? Which means, here, sunirvrutaha, ever free, ever relieved. Nirvrutaha means relieved. Is relieved from all problems and pains. In spite of going through the pain also, a physical pain also, one can say, emotionally you can be free. I am free. I am relieved. But temporarily, here, absolutely I am free, relatively, temporarily, isn't it? Incidentally, I am enjoying this body. I told you last class also, I am a human being waiting for my spiritual experience means I am wrong. I am a conscious being having temporary incidental human experience is the right expression, isn't it? Therefore here, Adishantaha, there, ever free, which means I was never bound by any limitation, I did not become free from limitations, and then I want to take ownership of limitlessness being my swarupam. Just, I need not do anything to take ownership of my fullness and happiness and limitlessness, only by shifting my identity from anatma to atma, I can take ownership, isn't it? That's why, sunirvrutaha, they're already free, already peaceful. What need to do now, what you need to do? You take ownership of what you already have. For which you need to shift the eye sense to consciousness. Then, samaha abhinnaha. So, all the jivas are one. Because we talk about all are not equal, all are one and uniform. Samaha means what? All are one, therefore uniform. Abhinnaha, non-different. All the waves are one and uniform. Essentially, water. Therefore, what all the waves are abhinnaha. Are they different? Are the waves different? Relatively, they seem to be different. Actually, they are non-different. Absolutely, they are non-different. Similarly, all the jivas are essentially non-different, one uniform reality, the consciousness. Therefore, sarve dharmaha. Because now we are very happy, no way. No, you don't want anybody else to be better than what you are. You understand? Everybody else is as good as me. I am as good as everybody else. Here again, what now? You can't even compare. Who else is there other than you? Is it comparison also is not possible? For comparison, you must be two. There are two parallel realities. What can you compare yourself with? That's why you're incomparably big. That's why we say Brahma. Second thing must be there for you to be able to compare yourself with. Therefore, sunirvrutaha, we say what? This verse is gone, my God. So, sarve sadharmaha samaha abhinnaha. Every word you understand here. Ajam. Why they are here? Suddenly he goes to neuter gender words. Ajam, samyam, visharadam. Why? Because all the jivas are one uniform, non-different awareness, the consciousness, which is of the nature of changelessness, ajam. Which is of the nature of changelessness, ajam means changeless reality, means it doesn't undergo any change, means it is free from birth, death and any other modifications. Which means it is of the nature of timelessness, beginninglessness and endlessness. Therefore, samyam. It has been said samaha, but now we say again what? Samyam. Samya means the uniformly it is one. Ajam samyam visharadam. Visharadam means ever pure, non-pollutably pure, non-refinably pure. So, non-refinably pure, non-pollutably pure. It means what? Some non-pollutably pure means what? It can never be polluted. It's ever pure. Purity is the very sorupam. What? When you say all it is only independent reality. Satyam is consciousness. You know, the punya papa, sins, kama, krodha, lobha, moha, madha, matsarya. All this, the impurity is all relative expressions. The very word impurity is relative expression. Isn't it? Which impurities, blemishes, sins, they all limitations, they all belong to what? Only the mithya, they're all mithya because they belong to mithya anatma. But what about consciousness? Ever pure. Therefore, in the world which shines in consciousness, which depend on consciousness to shine, and where it resolves in consciousness, that world, that matter, what pollution can contribute to the cause to the consciousness. Therefore, it is ever pure. Visharadam means it's ever pure. Non-refinably pure means what? Isn't it? There are two ways of refinement. One is actually, dosha apanayana samskaraha. Now you refine. Samskara means refinement, okay? Dosha apanayana samskaraha means, suppose this house is here and lot of it's very dusty and dirty. Suppose we want to make it look nice, isn't it? So making it look better is what? Refinement. And first what do you do? You want to paint the house, make it white paint, make it look bright and brilliant. But before you paint it with white paint, what do? You scrub and remove all the dirt, isn't it? Use some, scrub, and that's called what? Removing, wash the walls, remove everything, scrub everything. It's called dosha apanayana samskara. It must be dirty for it to become, to remove the dirt from that. Then you have to add guna adana samskara. Then you paint it and make it look better. It's called guna adana samskara. Refinement through two ways of refining it, making it look better is what? Clean it, then add beauty to it. Such is not possible with reference to Atma. Guna adana samskara is also not possible. Dosha apanayana samskara is also not possible because it is ever pure. When did it become impure for to make it pure? Is there anything else which can, is there any impurity at all on the part of consciousness? No. The word is visharadam. Okay? Visharadam, samam, samyam, visharadam, ajam, chaitanyam is the truth, essential nature of all the dharmas here, all the beings here. Therefore, adishantaha, anutpannaha, prakritya eva sunirvrutaha, sarve dharmaha, samabhinnaha, ajam samyam visharadam. Therefore, what here, there's nothing needs to be attained here. Nothing needs to be attained. Is already there. Moksha is the swarupam. Freedom is swarupam. Fullness is the swarupam. limitlessness is the swarupam, security is the swarupam. When can you claim your swarupam? Only when you see yourself being pure consciousness. Isn't it? That is what is said in these verses. Let us go do only one verse and stop it. Or if it's difficult, maybe we can do next class also. Okay, we'll do next class. Okay. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.